I don't usually do this when a holiday comes along to preach something along that has along to do with that holiday thing. I'm going to try it tonight because this every time we come around Memorial Day with my son had been in the Marines, I'm more interested in it now, I guess, in some respects because we had that potential of David being shot when he was in Iraq and everything. I've got mixed feelings about it though because I haven't been in the military, so I don't know what it's like. I know I should have been. I would have been during the Vietnam era, so I know I would have been jungle fodder if I'd have gone to that thing. And so I've got shame in those years, but I also realize in those days military was. Even then, it was already starting to fall apart. And as Sam pops on here tonight, God's Book it's called. There, Sam, he's a former submarine chief, and he's got some interesting stuff. He won't tell me anything. He's supposed to keep secrets, even when he's out. Hope he writes them down and sends it to me before he dies. But the military today is scary. I mean, it's just they're taking it down something fierce. As much as I think the military, the discipline, the boot camp, the shooting thing, and the government paying for your bullets and all that stuff, there's a lot of benefits to that thing. But boy, when you look at the military now, I mean, the media tells the world as to when we're going to attack, when we're going to go on a surge, stuff like that. We got tank designs, all in the media, the new magazines. We've got they have approved ladies now to go into the submarines. Well, that's the last thing those guys need. If I remember the wars correctly, watching them, the last thing they ever need is a lady on board. That's ridiculous, or inside a sub. Now they're making it okay. I mean, there have been queers in the military before, but they didn't say anything. Now they can brag about it. That's coming up. In the war, we can't shoot civilians, and we try not to shoot civilians. Can you imagine us fighting World War II and not shooting any German civilians? I know we tried not to if we didn't have to, but you shot, you know how that goes. You had to destroy the whole country to do it. We follow the United Nations rules and security things more and more. We wear the blue helmets and all that kind of stuff, lots of cases. This rules of engagement thing is baloney. I think my rules of engagement were if you see the enemy, you shoot. But it's a bunch of political wars, and they don't even let you fight all the way. You know, if you look at Psalm 106, and it's verse 34, if I think it's right here, Psalm 106, verse 34, this was the problem that the Israelites had. It says there, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols. And that's what we've done. We haven't killed off any of our enemy. We pay them back and we rebuild their nations for them. America could have been a superpower forever. You know, that whole thing. But so that's not my point here tonight. But this whole military thing, this is Memorial Day. This is make a memorial anyway, as they say, to the fallen. So that's a sad thing. I mean, yes, I can't imagine what it's like to lose your son or daughter. Commemorate, there we go, your son or daughter in a war, especially a worthless war. And I watch those old World War II commentaries or documentaries, I guess they call them, and I can't imagine. That was a way of life in those days. I just can't imagine what those guys must have had in their minds and the families back here with their men out there. And it's just a way of life. It's just a mentality that I can't imagine. And so we're pretty spoiled here from that standpoint. But the title of this thing is Sad Memorial to the Fallen or Glory to the Risen. Now, you know, how many, you look back at our wars, and how many of those men, or women, as far as civilian, anybody, when they fell to hell. You know, they fell. They were Catholics. They were doing the cross thing. They got the communion done out in the war field. You see all that kind of stuff going on out there. And those people that were killed, they died and went to hell. If you believe the Bible to be what it says, I believe the Bible to be what it says. So unless those folks had really trusted Christ as their Savior, and the Paul-following aspect of the whole deal, when they were shot, they went right into hell. These Germans, for example, that were fire torched, what do they call that thing, flamethrowered out of their bunkers, they went from flame in the physical thing to flame in hell. That must have been quite an easy transition as such. Same thing happened to Americans. I've seen a documentary where a guy was carrying the flamethrower and somebody shot the tank on his back and it exploded him. You wouldn't want to walk around the war carrying a bomb like that in your back unless you were a Hindu or Muslim or something like that. I guess they're used to that. But they tried to base it on their righteousness, so they were fighting for the country. And America was a great country, and I'm not going to knock America. I have no desire to knock America, and they were fighting for our country. And I was glad, I was proud of David when he went to the Marines. I wasn't thrilled about Iraq or Kosovo or anything like that, places he'd been to. But he made it through the Marines. I'll be the first one to say that Marines kind of destroyed him mentally, made him really prideful and lost a lot of his spiritual emphasis there. The Marines are some of the hardest mission field around, and it took him down before it did any good for them, so it showed where he was at. We know that the faith that these people had in the war in the past years was their faith, and their faith doesn't do anything for him. It's his faith that they needed. We've learned that. They talk about the spirit of America, you know, the freedom and the spirit of America is what keeps America going, and the faith that people have. Well, they have faith in what? Faith in their Buddha, faith in themselves, faith in their government, faith in money, faith in Oprah. The spirit that we all have, our spirit, is a strong spirit because we're Americans. That kind of stuff. I don't buy that. I don't like that. And yet I'm glad we're not some Ramadanish country, that kind of a thing. So these guys, when they were killed in the war, they went down without God. And when they do that, you go to hell. Now we know that in Revelation 20, you know, they get a reprieve, they get a break as such. Revelation 20, 11 to 15 talks about the White Stone Judgment. Is this all new to you, Adriana? This White Stone Judgment stuff, that kind of a thing? And so they get out. You know, all the Catholics believe that purgatory, you go to purgatory for a while, you got to pay for your sins or that kind of a thing. And then when you finally got them paid for, you've done enough holy rosaries and prayers and stuff like that. You get out so many days early and all that kind of stuff. How many people are going to get out of hell and they're going to think, there it is, that was purgatory. I made it. I'm out. And they've got to go to their judgment time now, actually White Stone Judgment, where they will, based on their works, because sin will be attached to their works, they'll go right back. Now they go to the lake of fire. I think it's Toy Story that says infinity and beyond. That's where they'll go. It'll be a lake of fire forever. Forever. And they'll know it. They'll be aware of it. And everybody thinks that's a terrible punishment that God... No, it's not a punishment. That place was for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. It's nobody... It's their fault, for people's fault for going to hell, lake of fire. God made the answer. He made the solution. He paid for it. All you got to do is accept it. And take the payment and put your faith in him. So it's not his fault that people die and go to hell. Could we get an amen or a yes? Is the sound going across out there? Or a burp or something on there? Let me make sure this thing is working. Yep, okay. So this is a Memorial Day message, but it's a mixed one because we're going to be, you know, we're going to be commemorating these people that gave their life for America, and they're still alive, according to the scriptures. I'm a Bible-believing guy. They're still alive. They're just not here. They're in hell. Or they've gone to the risen Savior as such. Okay, so who knows that kind of testimony? For those that they don't dare talk about it because it's a political thing. It's a government activity, so I guess you can't, I don't know. Probably can do more of that out here than they can anywhere else. So we'll see tomorrow if we go to one, I guess. So it's a mixed message this morning, this evening. Memorial Day, they died fighting for our country, and I'm glad they did. We have the freedoms that we have because of the wars that we fought. But we know that those things are going down here. But here's one. Jackson, General Jackson during the Civil War. His battle plans where he mapped them according to the Bible battle plans. He was reading the Old Testament, and he would apply the way the Old Testament wars were fought. That's how he designed the South to fight, and they were winning. But Jackson gets shot by his own man, by his own people. Is there a similarity to this thing? He gets shot by his own people, and they go off and they lose the war. Now, did God allow that? Did God make that happen? How could God have allowed that? The South would have won. We'd have been a totally different country. But they didn't. And the general they had that was following Old Testament principles for war was taken out, and by their own people. See the similarities there? You got a preacher, you got somebody preaching the truth, rightly divided by Paul, and who's their biggest enemy? The brethren. And take them down, and then they lose their war. That's an amazing thing here. I had some war vets back in Walla Walla that I talked with. I go have coffee with them once a week or whatever I could do, that kind of a thing. And they just didn't want to talk about Bible. They're just not interested. Two of them are Seventh-day Adventists, and one of them, his daughter was the pastor in the local Seventh-day Adventist church, so that's exciting, right? And They just wouldn't talk about stuff. And this one guy who would not talk about God, if he came up at all, he'd leave. And this is the guy, he was on the first wave on Normandy. He was one of the first ones on the beach that made it to the cliffs and up the cliffs. So pretty hard stuff. Pretty scary memories. He said when he went there and cleaned the beach, he was picking up body parts all over the place. And his point was I survived the war. God spared my life. And now he'll spare my soul. So these people, a lot of veterans today from the big wars, the older guys, think that they must have lived a good enough life for God to spare them, so they're not worried about heaven or hell. And they're not Bible readers. They're churchgoers, a lot of them. But they're in for a rude awakening. A very, very hard awakening when they find out that, you mean you didn't save me to, you know. These guys have been through a lot. They've been through physical war. They've been through, I don't know what you guys out there have been, or anybody listens to this thing, you've been through some horrible things. I can't even imagine watching your buddy stand next to you dropping like flies on the Normandy beach. The one guy was Normandy Beach. One guy did Iwo Jima. One of the guys had been down in the Philippines. And one guy had done with MacArthur. One guy had gone off with, who was in Africa. Who was the general in Africa? The guy that's, oh, come on, what's his name? I can see his, Patton. Yeah, Patton. He was with Patton. So these guys are with some pretty tough stuff. But that doesn't get them to heaven. And when they die, old Pete, these guys, they go to hell just like everybody else. Their righteousness may have saved America, but it didn't save them. And we also know that America's not doing so hot right now anyway. So, but these guys, they did. They fought for liberty, and I'm thankful for that. I talked to them about it, and they're very disgusted with the way America's going. They know they fought for liberty. But we'll see some scriptures here in a minute that this liberty is patterned after the liberty of Christ. And whether they knew it or not, whether this was the design the way it was back in the old days when they started the Constitution, I kind of figured they did. But it's very close to the liberty that we have in Christ. Close, not quite. If we look at, let's go to Galatians. And let's look at this liberty. That's what I wanted to talk about, just this liberty that we have today. We're losing it quickly, more than we ever realize. And I believe that if America would have followed the liberty that was written in that Bible, according to Paul, then we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. Because the Bible even says, rightly dividing the word of truth, not profane and vain babblings, which leads to an increase in ungodliness. So obviously America has not been rightly dividing the word of God lately. They've been corrupting it and destroying it. And as a result, we are where we are. God's letting us have our way, which is what the tribulation is going to be in the whole thing. So we see here in Galatians chapter 5, we see it mentioned. I guess I better get some of the verses typed out for me tonight here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay, so you know the standard thing. If you're an American and you're wherever you're born, you are an American. That kind of a thing. And you're born American, and America used to take care of its citizens when they go to foreign countries. Somebody would hurt somebody or kidnap them. They go and they destroy the nation or whatever. You know, we don't do that anymore. The hostage thing. But again, look at the comparisons here. That if America would have stood on Christ's liberty. It was almost 100% liberty. See, for a Christian, we have no law. And if America would have knocked out all the law, we'd be in big trouble. We would have been anarchy and that whole thing. But then again, there was a liberty that we had this freedom. And there were strings attached to America's freedom. And now we've lost those strings. We've actually added a whole lot more. But because we've thrown away some of those strings, we got people yelling fire in the theater, we got pornography because we have the right for pornography, you have the right to do this, you have a right for child. I mean, it's just crazy what the rights are getting away with these days. That's, we're not allowed to see them, which is the age of the people's rights, but we're still not there yet, but we're sure getting closer, I believe. Bible, I think, tells us that. And so this liberty that we have, that these guys, these war people fought for us, we've abused it. We've lost it. So let's look at this liberty first, and then we'll kind of wrap it up here at the end. We know we're not going to go back. We know we're losing our liberty. But let's just look at the scriptures, and you'll see that we're patterning in the whole thing. The same liberty is happening to Christians. What's happening in America? As we lose our liberty, what's taking away our liberty? More laws. You know, anytime there's an accident, anytime there's anything that goes on in this country that's wrong, supposedly, or causes some damage or something, they make a law. And just anything in the paper that's an accident, you can bet there's going to be a law against it. Like that's going to stop it. Why don't they make a law against running into trees with your car? Then nobody run into trees and get killed anymore. Why don't they say there's no more alcohol? Why don't they make that kind of a law? Well, they tried it, didn't they? And it would work, but they can't make that into a law. They tried it, it didn't work. So people blew that thing. But why don't we make a law that says no guns? We won't ever have any more crime. That's a stupid way to think about it, isn't it? And the statistics are showing that where there's more guns, there's less crime. It's just crazy what's going on out there. And I'll show you the verse in Peter that talks about that here in a couple minutes. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 again. We are as Christians to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Let's put that on America. Okay, America? Let's go back to the liberty that we have, the far less laws, and let's not let ourselves get messed up with bondage again from all these different countries or from our own government. Our own government is putting us into bondage, has been for years, but it's getting obvious now. So let's stand fast as a Christian, as an American. Well, you get out there and you go to politics and you fight the battles and you lie and you flatter people and all this kind of stuff. You become a politician and you find out that there's somebody else running the country. You find out that there's a secret government, identical government, and you find out some stuff that you can't imagine was taking place, and you know that America's doomed. We know that America's doomed in this world because of A, envy. Jesus Christ was killed because of envy, the Pharisees. Joseph was put down he had his problems in Genesis there because of envy. Paul was hassled because of envy. We get hassled because of envy. That's scriptural stuff. So this world is envious of America and the freedoms that we have. So because we think that we're still having our freedoms, we allow these laws to come in because you think the government's going to help us out, that kind of a thing. And we don't realize that we're going back into bondage. Same thing with Christians. Here we are. We say that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's paid for my sins. He's you know, all this kind of stuff. And so we have a liberty there. And yet, we can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do that. Or we'll lose our salvation. Well, that's bondage. That's not a liberty. Okay, we can't do this. We can't do that. You can't do this. You'll lose His fellowship. That's bondage too. That's not a liberty in Christ. That's not a lawless existence. So we don't want to get back into bondage. And yet the people out there that are preaching Christ as in the Baptist churches, especially now, the different Bibles, even the King James guys, they're actually preaching a bondage. If you don't do this, God will chastise you. If you don't do this, God will chastise you more. If you do this, God will bless you. That's under bondage. That's not the way Christ designed this thing through Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 3:17 says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? And that's fine. We have a liberty as a Christian. Let's look here to... let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. And the same thing that's happened to America in the last years is happening to us Christians, the true Christian, with Paul-following, risen Savior Christians. We see in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. There's people out there that just can't get over the liberty that Christ has given us as a risen Savior, and what Paul talks about. They can't fathom that kind of a liberty. One of the first things you say, then you can just go out and you can kill somebody, can't you? They didn't say that. But if you did kill somebody, you don't lose your salvation. Well, then you just, no, I didn't say that. But they can't understand. Just like this morning, they can't see. They don't have the real Savior, as far as I'm concerned, but whatever. Maybe it's just a matter of time to understand some things, too, as well. But see, here are these people out there, they're coming in to spy out the liberty. They want to see this liberty that we have, and they want to try to get us back into bondage. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Yes, we're going to a tribulation book, and for obvious reasons. 2
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. I was looking up something else for a minute here. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. This is what's going to take place, and it's already starting to take place more and more. While they promised them, verse 19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Here's our government promising us more liberty. We'll take care of this. We'll fix this. We'll help you do this. We'll help you do that. Not knowing, of course, that there's a bunch of restrictions to go along. How many governors did not accept the bribe money, that extra special boost money that the government tried to give out, because once they read the details, they had to pay back more and put them under more federal regulations. And said, listen, you're going to put us under bondage if we accept your money. So they told them no. And the people in the state got mad. People in America want the government to take care of them. We become slaves to our own government, and we wanted that. We've asked for that. So there it is. I mean, this is what's happening to us Christians. There's people out there that say that you can have the liberty in Christ, but here's what you can and cannot do. Well, sure, you know, you go to Paul's books, and there are things that we should not do and should do, but they're not laws. And those are just things that if we do those, we'll please God. Will we get a blessing today? Doubtful. Get a blessing in the future? Sure you will. Judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. Blessings today? They're spiritual blessings. We're overly blessed. Our cup runneth over, as it says in Psalms. We're greatly blessed, just not physically. How many of you guys that listen to this stuff, I know one guy still hasn't got a house, still hasn't got a job, he's about to lose his house and everything. And I know health issues that are out there. I know what's going on here. Like Jackson, how could God let somebody, his own man, shoot him? So, you know, what's going on here? Well, we're having all these things that are taking place. We are promised liberty, but America's going back into bondage. And it says in verse 20 that it'll be worse then than it was at the beginning. America's going to be in worse shape than it was when it first started. Well, of course it is. It's called the tribulation. And if you go to Jude, verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God. See, that's Paul's teachings right there, Philadelphian church, into lasciviousness. That's flesh. And denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the real true Savior will be denied. He's already being denied in these churches and in these Memorial Day services. They're going to praise these men who died and went to hell based on their own works for those that did. So we're just falling for it again. We're just going to fall. We're losing our liberties. We're losing it to laws. There's people out there who want us to lose our liberty. And are we fighting for it anymore? No, people want the government to step over. Are we fighting anymore in the churches? No, the people want the pastors to preach to them. The men want the pastor to teach them instead of reading their own scriptures themselves. They want the church to take care of this. They want, like the Mormon church, they want the church to become the welfare home. So if they have needs, the church will give it to them. I can name you some names right now from my past 15 years that I know that they're just sucking off the church for money and help. It just amazes me. It irritates me too. That, you know, we're supposed to be there to help people, but when they, you know, that one of the characteristics of the Sodom and Gomorrah is that they didn't help the people strengthen themselves. We're not helping people strengthen themselves. We're just giving them handouts. You folks have helped us greatly with money and stuff, but it strengthened us. It helped us get to where we are, and you've been good about that stuff. And I think I say and a lot, but anyway, it wasn't I could just still be sitting there bringing in money kind of a thing. But no, that was going away anyway, so we got out of that mess. So let's go look at this liberty now. Scripture, look at the liberty, and think of America's liberty, how it could have been this way. And if we'd have followed these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 strengths, which I know you know what they are, we've been over this before, but let's look at them today. If we'd have looked at these 5 strings as Americans, we still wouldn't be in the mess we're in. But we're not going to. I'm not preaching about saving America tonight. I'm not one of those. It's going down. It's called the rest, called the... As the last days approach, and we'll have the rapture, the Gentile thing will be done. It'll be done to the goodness of God. God will be done to the Gentiles. Stuff like that. So I'm not going to save America here, but it's just hard to think that these guys that we're memorializing, or most of them, I'm going to say most of them, a lot of them, are in hell. And that's, how can we commemorate and memorialize that thing? So I'd rather do like I say here, let's give glory to the risen. There are those that are saved. There are those soldiers. We're all soldiers. We're supposed to be a soldier, according to Paul. And when we die, we are risen. Do we need a memorial down here for us? No, we don't. We don't need to be glorified. We don't need to be praised.
For one thing, none of us are good enough soldiers.
Amen. 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 There we go.
So, we're afraid to hurt anybody. We're afraid to hurt the civilians in the process of fighting. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at a couple of things here for us first. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. And that's a simple thing. How does this liberty get us started? We have no law. Talk about liberty. There is no law. Well, how can you say such one of those kind of things? Well, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Okay, do you believe? Yes. Well, that law is not there for righteousness anymore. That's Old Testament law. You do all the Old Testament law, you're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to be able to do it anyway. Christ already did it. It's like my brother. He read the German Bible and translated it into English. I said, Gary, why did you do that? Martin Luther already did that, and I've got the German Bible, and it's already been done. It's in this King James Bible. Why do you want to do that? So, it's amazing what we try to do when things have already been done. You know, so Christ is taking care of the law. So why should we follow the law? Look at Galatians 2:19. That gets even better than that. I'm not trying to be rebellious here tonight. And can you imagine America with no laws? You know, America was much better off when it had fewer laws than it has. You think all these laws we're having put on us are helping things? You think it's helping out America with our liberties? Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. I mean, the laws, look at all the school buses, the laws they have to have in order to run those things on the highway. Look at the laws you have to have when you buy a car. Look at the laws they have to make that you have to have in order to make a car. You know, they just kept adding more and more. As for our safety, of course. Well, you can't talk on a cell phone. A lot of states, boy, out here you can talk on a cell phone, you can text, you can jump out your window if you want. You can drive on studs all year long if you want to. Metal studs, go ahead. They don't care. There's no law. They say, we hope that you're smart enough to take them off. We're not going to make a law about it. And it's, by the way, it's $10 to get a concealed weapons permit. And you don't have to have any checkup or anything. You just take it in and they give you the paper and you're done. They don't need laws. So we don't worry about that. So we need the guns out here. We got guys in cowboy hats that never take them off. Those are real. They're real guys. You know, I bet those guys take a shower with their hats on. And whatever else, it's an amazing thing. So it's different out here, that's for sure. There is more of a liberty out here. And it's amazing when somebody pops up a law that so far the legislature says, yes, we shouldn't be doing that, but we don't need to make a law against it. People just need to be wise. It's just like Paul said here. We've got some strings here. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. So we're dead to the law. Now, it's the law that came along to show us that we're dead to the law. And that I might live unto God. So if you're going to follow the law, you can't live unto God. But we're dead to the law, now we can live unto God. That's what Paul talks about in Romans in Acts 26:18. Want to serve God. Look at Romans chapter 3. See, now, Adrian, if you go back to school and you tell people this kind of stuff, they're going to say, well, like you say, can I just go kill people? Well, there's not a law that says you can't, but it's not, and we'll go through the things here later on why you shouldn't do that. But you won't lose your salvation over it. You won't even lose your fellowship with God over it. And they can't imagine that kind of liberty. They can't deal with it. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We know that in Habakkuk, I think it's chapter 4, 2:4, I think it is, or 4:2, that their faith, they live by their faith. We live, our faith gives us the faith of Christ. And we live our daily lives in our flesh by His faith. Not by ours, but by His. That's in Galatians. Let's go to Romans chapter 4:15. Look right over there a little bit. Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath. Now this has got a lot of depth to this verse. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Okay, so if Christ took care of the law for righteousness, then if there's no law, which there isn't, then there's no transgression. There's nothing there to be imputed anyway. And that law worketh wrath. And the more laws we get, the madder we're getting, the madder they're getting, there's going to be a war pretty soon. So it's amazing what that verse means, isn't it? The law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So
What's the problem? How could you lose your fellowship? How could you lose your salvation if there's no law that says what that is wrong? There's a sin. Now, the things we're doing that are still wrong will be judged in the judgment seat, but not us, because we have no law to follow. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. That's a good verse for children, the babies. They don't have a clue what's going on. They just put it in one end and get it out the other. That's all they want to do, is suck it, eat it up and poop it out. That's all they want to do. There's no law for those little babies. And when does the life change? Well, when sin revives, it says in Romans 7. So here we have, until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. And Christ took care of the law for righteousness. So we have a glorious liberty. We have a glorious, glorious, glorious liberty. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we got some strings to this fantastic liberty. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. See, all things are lawful unto him. How can you say that? Well, there is no law against anything. Okay, so all things are lawful. Now, this is in your Bible. You believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God, Adrian and everybody that's out there and going to listen to this later. If you're a Bible believer, I don't care if you're Baptist, whatever, skip all that stuff. This is what it says. All things are lawful unto me. Can you do what you want? Yeah. But all things are not expedient. Expedient means doing something that's right. It's the right thing to do. Okay, so all things are not expedient. So you really can, but it's not expedient to do that. Here's the things you ask yourself. You're a Christian. You've got the liberty of Christ. You can do what you want. Say what you want. Go where you want. Watch what you want. Eat what you want. Wear what you want. Play what you want. Whatever. But is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? We're living in a day and age where right is becoming wrong and wrong is becoming right. That's getting tougher. You've got the liberty to go out in a bikini or a Speedo or whatever these stupid things are. But it's not the right thing to do. So don't do it. Then it goes on, all things are lawful for me. There it is again. All things are lawful for me. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Those are called habits, addictions. What do we do that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we just can't stop doing it? See? Remember what Paul says in Romans 7, that in Colossians, we're circumcised from our flesh. But the sin is still there. So the temptation is still there to do this stuff. And Paul went through it, and Paul slipped up. He talks about that, Romans chapter 7. So it's not that Christ is not even asking us to walk a perfectly sinless life. That comes in the tribulation. And it'll even be there, the Spirit of God, upon their flesh, so they can do it. And he'll chastise them when they're doing wrong to get them back on the right path, because he loves them. It's all in Revelation. It's amazing where people come up with that stuff for today. Christ is not expecting us to walk that perfect walk. The clean walk is for His glory. The clean walk is for His pleasing. And we have the liberty. There's no law. So all things are lawful. He took care of that pretty quick, didn't he? It's never been like this before, and will never be like this again. And he did this just so the Jews would realize what they had, and they blew it. So the only reason we've got this is because of the Jews messed up and rejected him. Okay, so we've got all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let's go to chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. 10:23. All things are lawful for me. There it is again. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. There it is again. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Edify is to instruct, is to teach. A good thing. You know, you're going to be edified. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to grow. You're not going to fizzle and whittle down. Edify. Be taught to help something up in your life. So is this something you're going to do or say or wear? Or is it going to be edifying to you, to somebody else? Well, no, it'll probably kind of, well, then don't do it. It's going to drag you down or drag somebody else down or whatever. It's not going to edify. What is, you know, can TV edify somebody? Sure, it could. But will this program edify you? No. What if it's a good program and you got stuff you have to do and you don't get it done? Was it expedient? Well, no. Then you shouldn't have done it, even if it was a good program.
Is TV in itself wrong? No. Are movies in themselves wrong? No. But the music's there, the false teaching's there, the false gospel's there, the time-wasting is there, the money cost of it's there. And I know some people that cannot get away from their television, been there, done that, and now they can't get away from videos. He buys a video, at least a new video, every 2 or 3 days. Can't stop. That's a power over you. Good video, bad video, it doesn't matter. That's the problem there, is you can't get away from it. You can't stop the thing. And he's destroyed his family because of it. Anyway. So, you know, American people, Americans could do, they can do things. If they'd have done things that were right, based on the scriptures, of course, if they'd have done things that didn't give them a, put them under their power of it, smoking and drinking and addictions of all drug, all the sorts of addictions that are out there, and if it was edifying instead of corrupting or destroying. But we went the other way as a country. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. So these guys that are being commemorated, are being memorialized, fought for a liberty that didn't quite come all the way, physically probably couldn't without Christ being down here, but he gave us a Bible, so the person had the opportunity to receive this liberty from God, is for himself, between him and God, and it's being taken away. You talk to these people that don't understand Paul, but they're King James people, they still want those laws and those legal things put on them. They want to know they're doing really perfectly enough to get God's blessings. There's a pride and arrogancy there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Sure, you've got liberty. There's no law that says you can't do that. But to wear something like that, you're doing it just for your flesh. You enjoy the looks you get. You enjoy the comments you get. You enjoy the fact that you've lost weight, so you want to show everybody off your new figure. You want to go to this place. Cause why? Because it feels good. You like movies? Why? I have fun with them. You do these kind of games, they're fun. See, you're doing it for the flesh. So there's that. Let's look to here at look at verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Well, we're not in the flesh, based on Romans chapter 6 and 8, I think it is. But we're still inside our bodies, so we know that there's something there. Am I getting a comment from anybody here? Uh-oh. Oh, no. Okay. So, getting back on track here. Expedient. Edify. Can't be done for an occasion for the flesh. Romans chapter 14. We've got two more to go here. Romans chapter 14. And Adriana, you go to the school, so everything in that school is geared to your flesh. It's got to be fun. It has to be performance-oriented. The A is to make you feel good about it. It's all fleshy stuff. So it's a tough battle. It's a tough battle because your flesh is what flesh still is. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereas one may edify another. Is that the verse I want? Romans 14, 19. Okay, right. It is good in verse 21 to eat, neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So we know that we don't want to do something that causes somebody else to stumble. We have the liberty to do that. There's no law that says we can't do that. So if we do that, you know somebody else is going to say, hey, why can you do that? How can you drink that? How can you wear that? How can you go there? How can you do that? Well, you have the liberty. Oh, then I can do that too? Well, and you got problems. You're causing other people to stumble. That's just the way it is. And lastly, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12. We already talked about this one. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. I should have separated. I should not have separated them. I guess 1 Corinthians 6, 12, where it says here, 1 Corinthians 6, 12, not 12, 6. Let's go to 6, 12. And that they brought under the power of it. The second one is under the power of. So there's the strings to this liberty. And see, we recognize here, let's go to 1 John. We'll finish up with 1 John here. that there are people that are envious of America and they're trying to destroy America because of the liberty that we have. I bought a gas can the other day, so for my lawnmower, and I can't get the stupid thing to pour gas out. It's got this environmental safety feature on it. You have to twist it and push it and hold it and then bend the spout as you pour it in. I've been pouring gas all over the lawnmower. And those guys think that they're making things better for us. No, they're not. We're under the bondage. I can't find a gas can that's got this plain old spout. We're under their bondage. We've lost our liberties. You can't even use your cell phone by a gas pump. You can't have your cell phone in your car, but you can still have sandwiches and cigarettes and makeup and that kind of stuff. I remember when the radio first came out in automobiles, people fought about it because it was going to distract the drivers. And now look, you got the boom boxes going, you got television in your car, you've got GPS. What is more distracting than to try to find yourself on a map, driving 95 miles an hour on an interstate through Salt Lake City or something, trying to read your map and have this lady tell you, turn right in the next 2 miles, take a right, go 700 feet, turn left. Well, what highway do I take? And before you know it, you're more distracted by any cell phone thing. Ah, it's just amazing. It's just bondage. They cannot stand to have us have the liberty. You want to wear seatbelts? You don't want to wear seatbelts. When they first came out with seatbelts, you didn't have to wear them. We're just telling you that you should. Cars will be equipped. You don't have to wear them. Now you have to wear them, but we're not going to check on them. We're just going to see if you have an accident without it. Now they can get you for not having a seatbelt on. It's leavening. Leavening is taking away liberty and putting us under bondage. Same thing with Christians. Religion puts people under the bondage of that denomination or of that pastor or of the music. Or whatever it is. There's a power over us. There's music. Listen to anything you want, but that power, that music can take over your flesh in seconds. Just trying to turn your music off for a week. No music for a week. Well, hey, you can't do it because everywhere you go, there's music anymore, but tough stuff. We're losing our liberties. And Adriana, by the time you get to be our age, if the rapture hasn't come and all that sort of a thing, you're going to be living in an America that has never existed before. That is under the bondage of the world government. And then everybody's going to say, we're taking better care of you. We give you insurance, yeah, but we'll tell you what doctor you can have. We won't even let you have the surgery because you're too old. And the laws we have, you better put that chip in if you want to buy any groceries. Then you can buy all the groceries you want. Oh, I'm telling you, the liberty is going to be great, but it's under bondage worse than ever before. So, 1 John chapter 2, I've got here, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So even in the last time, the last days, it is the last time. Now look where they come from. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So this time coming up, it's going to come from the people. For America, what's happening to Christians? The pastors out there, the people that are Christians, are bringing this out on their own. It's coming from within. America will be destroyed from within, and the truth is being destroyed from within Christianity as such. And look at verse 20, just to show you again here why this is all not to us today. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Come on. I've heard pastors preach for an unction of that sermon. So what does that mean? That means so you'll know all things. You're only going to know what you studied. You're only going to know what you're preaching, what's on your notes, with a few bunny trails here and there. We don't have that ability to have an unction to know everything. Yeah, you read your Bible and remember everything you read. You might maybe know some of what everything is. Now, this isn't written to us, but that does tell us that in the tribulation days where this is all headed, when everybody thinks they got a liberty, they're going to be under the bondage of an Antichrist. And all this is coming, they're from us, but not of us. That's where it's coming. So that's why the brethren are so crummy, because that's where all this stuff's got to come out of anyway. So there's your Memorial Day message. You know, you've got, I'm not knocking the men that died. I'm sorry that they did. Some of them died horrible deaths, and they were... never got to see their children, never got to see their wives. The wives found out their husband had died. And I can't imagine, now that I've experienced loneliness like I have in the last year, I can't imagine losing somebody you care about without even a goodbye. Just boom, gone. Just gone. And now some of you folks have been there. I've never been there yet like that. So it's a tough time. But these people who think that they're sending letters to their son or their father or something, and they think they stand over their grave and they appreciate the flowers you're putting there. I guess that makes really a cold, heartless person, but I don't see any value in that unless it's valuable for you to do that. And why would that be? In what Paul talks about that, why should we have the sorrow that the world has? Dad's not down there. Grandpa's not down there. Your son isn't down there if they were saved. And if they were not saved, that you finally found out that they were not saved, they're still not down in that hole. They're in hell, which is a whole lot worse than that hell, than that hole down there, I guess. We got to look past this outward game. You know, it's tough stuff for people to handle. Got to get a hold of that book, and we can learn how to do these things right without being a jerk about it and do the right thing. Make sure it's expedient. Make sure it edifies. Make sure it doesn't cause somebody to stumble. Make sure it's not an occasion for the flesh. It doesn't have a power over you. If you write those five things down and we look at them, boy, there's a lot of things that we can stop doing, maybe. If we still got that flesh inside, saying, I didn't do it, but it's a sin that's in me that did it. We'll still have that battle all the time. But try to get some victories over that thing. And remember, all things are lawful. But, and you fill in the blank.